1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to this Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here. We got all veterans. Everybody here knows what they're doing. We got Nene, who we haven't seen in forever.
I know. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in a minute. I can't wait. We got Josh, who's like on the show all the time now. He's killing it.
It's awesome. Doing I love so good. It.
But we still haven't done a conversion story.
We do. That. We need to do that at some point.
And I want to do that Orthodoxy Catholic thing.
Yeah, that would actually be really nice.
Yeah, which is a good segue to how if you're drawn toward the Orthodox Church, but you realize that the fullness of truth is found in the Catholic Church, you can join Leah over at the Byzantine Rite
exactly. Catholic Church. Exactly. Tiffany of Our Lord, Byzantine Catholic Church. Church,
heck yeah,
Georgia.
Big shout out to Father Lewis. Yep.
Look us up on Google.
Yeah, they got great Google great Yelp Catholic reviews. Yeah. And then we got Drew. Just coming in. Drew, it's been a while. It hasn't been too long.
It's good to be here.
You like kick around sometimes. Like I see you just hanging out.
And it's good to
see you. Yeah, it's exciting stuff. Really excited about it. We've got a great show, one that I found out about very recently, and I'm super excited about. Can men and women be friends? I've got some thoughts that we're going to share. It's going to be awesome. But before we do that, we do have to kick it off in fun facts and prayer. Drew, you volunteered beforehand, even though as a rule, typically, we always go with the Byzantine if there's Byzantine in the room because they tend to be better prayers or converts.
I was at Epiphany this morning, actually.
Okay, perfect.
I hate to wrap it.
No, that's great.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, here to worship you, to praise you, in the name of your Son, through the Holy Spirit. Just want to lift us all up as we talk about gender discourse, super relevant and pressing this time. May this message reach all the young people, and may our panelists speak the words of truth. We ask this through your blessed mother, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women.
Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. It's pretty good.
Thanks.
Don't grade prayers. I don't grade them.
If you had to give it like a letter or a number,
I'm glad
color,
you asked.
Even.
I'd give you like a solid A minus.
Solid A minus.
A minus. That's great.
It passes.
And a solid A minus. That's like a 92.
It took me a long time to realize that A minus was a good grade.
Well, A minus is great.
I was a straight A student. You know, something got an A minus. I'm like, this is horrible.
Yeah, don't let the minus fool you.
Realistically, that's excellent. You got an A.
So
you pass.
I went to a really, really rough school, literally in the middle of the projects in very rural South Georgia, up until I was in ninth grade, went through the school system down there, and I thought I was brilliant. I thought I was the smartest guy that ever existed. I didn't study for anything. I just had like parents who made me do my homework, you know, like pretty baseline, whatever, and I thought I was the smartest guy, straight A's, everything. And then, not a smart decision, but September, October, something like that in my freshman year of high school, I stole a car. And
let's go.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to turn the headlights on, though, right? Which was a problem, right? But I was 14, right? So I felt like it was pretty cool that I could. Anyway, not cool as in good or virtuous, but just like interesting.
Let's not go, right? Actually.
So I get pulled over, I get in all this trouble. My parents end up saying, yeah, we're going to remove you from that environment and put you somewhere else. Sent me to school an hour away, and all of a sudden I went from the smartest kid in the world, in my own estimation, to really struggling. I made a 70 in algebra my freshman year. Big shout out to Coach Alan Lowe, my algebra teacher, who gave me that 70 because I'm positive I did not earn that 70, but I did not have summer school, which was really cool. So I'm sure that he's a big fan. Coach Lowe, if you're listening, thank you so much. I really appreciate you pushing me over the edge there with that 70. All right, we're not going to talk about my grades anymore from primary school. We're going to dive right into fun facts. Everybody owes us one except for Nene because she's turned her back on us a while back, so she owes us two. You earned one back.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm back.
I'm super excited to have you.
I guess first fun fact would be I'm back in school.
Awesome.
Yep. Don't love it, but you know, it is what it is.
Sure.
And then...
What are you working on?
I'm a double major.
Okay.
And it's integrated health science and biology.
Cool.
Because I want to go to PA school when I'm done.
Sure.
So that's one fun fact. Another fun fact is I went to Vietnam this year.
What's in Vietnam? Why are we in Vietnam?
My mom's sister lives over there. My dad's side of the family lives over there. I haven't been back in 20 years, so it was like a nice just going back.
That's
kind of like experiencing like how it is as an adult. I was there for 3 weeks because I got let go from my job last year, and so I'm like, well, I started a new job. I already got a ticket, so it was like before hire. So it was great. My mom and I went together. It was so much fun. Would I go again? Yes.
Awesome.
But with my dad probably this time.
Okay.
No offense, my mom lover, but.
No, we got to make sure you share this with all of our friends over in Vietnam. I'm sure we got a lot of Catholics representing over in Vietnam.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always share it, and my cousin listens to it whenever she's not busy with work. So shout out to my cousin in Vietnam.
I would love to go to Vietnam just so I could get into like a little like scuffle somewhere, so I could spend the rest of my life with a story that starts with when I was fighting in Vietnam, right? But okay, that's a bad joke. I'm sorry. But that would be neat, right?
I missed your bad jokes. It's fine.
It's all good. All good. All right, Josh, what you got?
All right, so mine, it starts off as a bit of a story, a parable, if you will. So when I was a kid growing up in the country, my dad was an inner city cop, right? He moved out of, the New Jersey's coming out. So
do you have a mustache? I'm just trying to picture
him. He does have a mustache.
Okay, perfect. Good.
Yes, singular.
I would be really upset.
Not beating the cop allegations.
I would be really upset if your New Jersey cop dad did not have a mustache.
No, he has he does have a mustache. Perfect. Shaved it once. Did not look good.
No.
But anyway, so when he retired, he wanted to move to the country, get like a farm, because he worked on like a farm in Puerto Rico when he was a kid.
Awesome.
So he got pigs. He also has, he's a Baptist deacon at the church he goes to. Another one of the deacons, he owns like a pizzeria. So he gives us free pizza.
Great.
That we feed to the pigs.
Oh, so like if you ever want, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. If you ever want like a pork chop that's pizza raised, you know, they say grass fed, like cows, sheep, whatever. I got pizza fed pigs.
Pizza fed pigs. Yeah. I like that. That's good. Do you still run a farm?
He still runs it. Yeah, he's got like 3 or 4 cows at this point, sheep, like 6 sheep, 7. Like probably like 30 chickens, a bunch of rabbits. He used to have ducks. I don't know if he still has them. Those are dirty animals.
Yeah, they are. we got some, not a lot. I think I have 7 ducks. They're just lawn decorations. I've got 57 meat chickens right now.
Do you have any body of water? Do you like live near a body of water?
Yeah, but I don't let my ducks get in it. No.
Oh, okay.
That makes them even grosser and ruins the water.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you've seen what they do.
Oh, yeah. We've had ducks for years. They're gross. They're very cute when they're babies.
They're
though.
So cute.
Yeah.
And they're like fluffy.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Leah, what about you? You got any duck-related fun facts? Or?
Not any duck-related fun facts, but recently, Hannah and I and some other parishioners from Epiphany went to the annual Byzantine pilgrimage, and I met Mother Natalia.
Wait, where was the Byzantine pilgrimage? Where'd you go?
Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yeah.
The famous why is there a Byzantine pilgrimage to Pennsylvania? Like, what's there?
Is it the Steelers?
Put me on the spot.
I'm sorry. Mother Natalia's there.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, that's why I went. No, I'm just kidding. Because that's where the monastery of
Some cool monastery.
Yeah, there's a monastery there. I'm blanking on it, but yeah, we were there for that.
That's awesome.
And a bunch of other Byzantines were there, and we all had liturgy and met each other. It was pretty cool.
That's cool. I dig that. Are you having a revelation right now, Leah? It looks like in your...
Oh, it was Our Lady of Perpetual Health.
Our Lady of Perpetual Health.
Yes,
in
of course
town?
It was.
Mother Natalia's there.
Of course it was.
That's right.
It was Our Lady of Perpetual Health. Thanks for the help. Perpetually.
That's really cool. I dig it. That's awesome. What about you, Drew? What you got? Last but not least.
And to follow the Eastern Catholic trend, I've been moonlighting as an Eastern Catholic for a bit. I've been hanging out at John Chrysostom's down in Decatur, and I went to liturgy today at Epiphany, filmed same day, of course. And it's been really good, actually. It's a great way to explore other sides of my faith. And see.
Are you looking at the Eastern rites because you both want to be married and be a priest?
Actually, I didn't think of it that way. But when I was younger, I was so disappointed to learn that the sacraments were exclusive. And now I'm like, whoa, there is a way.
Turns
you know,
out.
Okay,
I want to get
real.
Discipline, not a doctrine, baby.
Discipline, not a doctrine.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, if that's what it's called to, that would be sick, actually.
That'd be pretty
you
cool.
know. But I don't think you should pursue something like that because that would probably just spiral out and be really bad for everyone.
That's fair. All right. I like that. I said off air, Father Lewis over at Epiphany. I'm a big fan. I gave him years ago. This was probably 10 years ago. I gave him a turkey for Thanksgiving. I slaughtered a turkey. It was Father Lewis's turkey. I think we might have named it Lewis. I don't know if that. Whatever. But anyway, then we slaughtered it, and I got to go over to his house and gift him his Thanksgiving turkey.
So cool.
Hope it was good.
Cool.
I never really heard back. I mean,
yeah.
We're not like on a texting relationship or anything.
Right.
But big fan.
Interesting.
Big fan.
I'll ask him about that next time you see.
Please
him.
Do. Yeah. Make sure you bring that up. My only fun fact I want to throw out there today because this is very exciting. I just came from the Cathedral of Christ the King, and my 11-year-old daughter and her volleyball team just won the Catholic Metro League volleyball championship. So heck yeah! All those other Catholic K-8 schools can eat it. We just won.
I'm sure they're great,
but they didn't win, so we did, which is super cool. Very excited about that. Big shout out, St. John Bosco. Go Gray Wolves. Nice. All right, so I want to dig into the topic today. This is going to be probably a big one. I don't really have like a, I don't know, sort of like a structured idea of how this is going to go, because I feel like the whole topic of the show is just a question, right? Mm-hmm. Can men and women be friends? So I just want to start by opening that up. I got a lot of thoughts on this, and you guys can tell me I'm wrong or you can agree with me, but I'm going to hold back for a little while.
Like a yes through no, going through the
Do you want to go through and
can
say,
men and women be friends?
And then we'll end it early.
Just like a yes. Everybody yes. Just say yes. So, one word. It's either
so
yes or
complicated,
no.
Complicated though, because there's so much nuance.
But then you
to
can elaborate
question.
From there. I say yes. There you go. I start. All right. Give me something.
I think depends on like the circumstances.
I said one, yeah.
Well, you can't just say
a lot
yes
of words.
Or no.
I did say one word.
Maybe.
Yes or no.
There you go. Maybe.
Oh, that's a great one word. Okay. For you, Josh?
I'm just going to let Drew do this.
I'm going to qualify afterwards, but I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. Hi, Leah.
Maybe.
You guys are really...
You need to be more decisive.
How about one of you guys elaborate on that with the maybes? You know? We've got two maybes in the room.
There's parts of the sentence that you have to define.
Mm-hmm.
Like friends, best friends.
Like, what
friends.
Is a woman?
Yeah, what is a woman?
I'm just kidding. No, we're all good on that. Yeah.
There's just levels to it. I'm sure we'll dig into that.
Yeah.
I can't give you a yes or no.
I'll elaborate on my take, and that would be men and women absolutely can be friends, but I don't think a male-to-male relationship is going to be the same as a male-to-female friendship, you know?
Totally.
And I think that's a very strong defining factor. And maybe another thing, too, is for me, my best friend is a man. And I think having that, like, very strong, I know that's my best friend, helps establish how I'm going to interact with other women that I'm friends with. Because I'm not really looking for the same kind of fellowship or brotherhood, dare I say, that I would be from a woman.
Yeah, I think it would be worth probably just to sort of set the stage to talk about what friendship looks like to a man versus a woman, because I do think that they're different. I think when you talk about your friends and I talk about my friends, I think there's a ton of similarities. But
yeah.
I think there's if I say that Josh is my friend,
mm-hmm.
I probably mean something different than you do
mm-hmm.
when you say if you said that Leah was your friend.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, this is going to make me sound super lame, but I'm 36 years old. I think I have maybe three or four friends.
Yeah.
Like, good friends. I've got a lot of acquaintances. I've got a lot of guys that I respect a lot, that I really enjoy being around, but I have very few friends. And it's because mm-hmm. of my state in life, right? I'm married. My wife's about to have my sixth kid. My oldest is 13 years old. Like, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of time for building, like,
new
good, authentic. Yeah. Well, I said the other day, it was this morning. We were down in the, like, having coffee and donuts after Mass, right? And my wife was asking me about somebody, and I said, I don't know who that is, right? And let's go, right? I mean, a curmudgeon or whatever. She was like, we should introduce them. Like, we should make some friends. And I said, I don't even like most of my friends that I have right now. Like, why would I want to make new friends, right? I got a couple of guys that I'm close to, and that's pretty much it. So I don't know. How about, let's start with the ladies who were indecisive a minute ago. Force them to be decisive, right? What does it mean, Leah, when you say somebody's your friend, right? Hannah, friend of the show, right? I assume she's your friend.
Yeah, well, she's my best friend.
She's your best friend.
That's a completely different category.
Oh, come on, is it? I feel like that's just a really good version of your answer.
For me, personally, a male could never fill the spot, besides, like, maybe my husband, but even then, could never fill the spot of my number one best friend.
Great, so tell me what that means, that she's your friend. What do you mean?
Okay, well, I'll just keep it simple. What does it mean to be one of my friends, mm-hmm. not to be my number one best friend? But to be one of my friends, I would say, I mean, honestly, for me, I feel like it doesn't take a lot because, in the Catholic community, we meet so many people. And, like, I just met a group of young adults today that apparently have been going to my parish that I didn't know about. And, like, I would consider them friends now because of the nature of our relationship. Like, if somebody asked me, oh, how do you know Josh? Even though Josh and I, like, aren't close, we don't talk, like, besides when we see each other in person, I wouldn't say that Josh is an acquaintance. Like, I would say Josh is a friend of mine. But that's obviously going to be different than the women I have in my life.
I just think friendship has a definition, and we got to dig
sure
into what the
does,
definition
and
is.
I'm Byzantine. I hate defining things. It's a mystery. Like, the mystery of friendship.
When do you come from? Yeah. We don't know. We just know that it happens at some
it
point.
It is somewhere along the way. But yeah, I don't know. I guess if you want to be, like, technical, a friend is somebody that you'll hang out with and spend time with outside of what you're obligated to.
Yeah.
I guess that's the parameters. It's not like a beautiful definition, like, this is someone who I share my heart with, but somebody I do things with.
So, is there a definition of friendship in the catechism?
I'm sure there is. I'm pretty sure Aristotle has one. I couldn't say it off the top of my head. But yep. I think it's something along the lines of, like, two people, they're moving in similar directions. They have, like, similar goals. And even if they're not necessarily working together, there's a certain kinship there. So there's, like, hierarchies of relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times in the Catholic communities, in a certain way, we're brothers and sisters. You can't be, like, necessarily super intertwined with another person, but the idea that we would have a mutual friendship, a mutual willing of a unique willing of the good for one another, I could see that. But when I hear the question, when most people ask the question, like, oh, can a guy and girl be friends, they're not really asking about that. They're asking, like, can a guy and a girl be best friends, which is why I said no, but I want to qualify. I think a guy and a girl can probably be friends, but the level of friendship cannot pass a certain line. Mm-hmm. And in most scenarios, it just won't. But I think about my parents, right? My parents are together. My mom doesn't have a guy best friend. My dad doesn't have a girl best friend, right? And there's almost something moderately inappropriate if they did.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that's where I wanted to say no, because I wanted to, A, it's the controversial take, but B, it feels true. It feels true that there's an inappropriateness if the friendship passes a certain level.
I want to read, I just had this given to me from the ether of Spinny over here. Whether he exists or not, he can produce iPhones. And this is the Catechism, right? The Catechism defines friendship as a form of charity that leads to spiritual communion, a great good for all, and a manifestation of human and Christian brotherhood. It emphasizes that true friendship is based on love for the other, a desire for their good, and a shared pursuit of virtue and ultimate union with God. Yeah,
it's
okay.
A lot of words.
So I like this, and I want to dig into this a little bit, because mm-hmm. I think the line of, okay, so we're all called to love each other, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love Drew. I love Leah. I love Josh. I love Nene. That being said, I don't have to like you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not called True. To like you, right? There's a voluntariness in friendship, right, that I think is important. And right. You said that was part of your definition, too, that I thought was really cool, right? This idea that it's something that is that I choose to spend right. time with this person mm-hmm. when I don't have to.
So it's people yeah. who you love but also like.
Yeah.
Right. I saw a homeless guy begging for money on the side of the road earlier, right? I love that man. I'm not going to go out for drinks with him or invite him over to my house, right? I mean, maybe I would one day, but not mm-hmm. not right now. But I do love the guy. I can say that. I think that voluntariness has a lot to do with it, right? And if we're defining love as willing to go to the other for their own sake, right, then, and we're called to do that for everyone, right, mm-hmm. there's a voluntary nature that is tied up in friendship that goes beyond that.
Right.
Yeah.
There's also an involuntary nature, I would say, because most of the time, in the same sense that one doesn't choose what foods they like, I don't think you necessarily choose the people that you vibe with, you know what I mean? Or the people that you happens. Like get this kinship. It's almost yeah. something you stumble upon.
This is true.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I agree with that. I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Drew, you look like you got some wisdom to lay down on. So yeah. Do you?
I was reclining. Yeah, I mean, that was a really wordy definition.
You're like reclining at a table. Like, it was a cool.
Leah's yeah. definition seemed to like lack a purpose, and the purpose of friendship, of course, is, you know, to build a relationship closer to God through community and the people you find in your life. And I would say that would kind of be a defining factor. And men and women complement each other in different ways, so therefore their friendships will have different ways in which they manifest to bring each other closer to God.
Okay, see, I like that. I like. Yeah. I think that's a little more pinpointed, right? If you asked John Henry Spann at 17 years old if he had friends, I would have said, yeah, I got a lot of friends,
yeah.
right? I was a pretty popular mm-hmm. guy. I got invited to a party. I had, you know, I went and I did the things, right? But I don't think I actually had a friend by that definition yes. until I was, I don't know, maybe a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
Right? The first time that I've told the story on the air before plenty of times, right? But I was at a big, big keg party, hanging out on the river, and my buddy starts walking around ringing a cowbell and kicks all the girls out. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? The whole reason I'm here is because the girls are here. And he's like, no, there's beer and there's girls. We're not going to, like, that could be bad. I was like, no. I'm sorry. Let me revise what I just said. The two reasons I'm here are the beer and the girls, and you're taking away half the reasons I'm here. And he did. He kicked all the girls out, and then we sat in a hot tub, drank all the beer, and smoked a couple packs of cigarettes while he, like, delved into my soul and was like, dude, why are you so worried about these girls? Why are you so worried about this? And asked me all of these questions. And all of a sudden, like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, my alcohol-soaked brain was like, whoa, you, like, actually care about me. You, like, yeah. care if I go to heaven. You're a friend. I think I have a friend. I think this is the first time I've ever really had a friend, right? I think that there's that that desire that is necessary for authentic friendship, right? Not people I like to hang out with, right? Because they're fun, right? But there is that, definitionally, I think there's a has to be a mutual desire to uplift one another for the sake of the kingdom of God.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Tied up in that. Cool. That was fun. Yeah.
So in what ways can, like, a man or woman not be friends? I think that's the more controversial question.
Mm-hmm. Any answers from over here? Leah, Nini?
I feel like a guy and a girl cannot be friends if there was a romantic relation with that. I think, like, ask me this, like, a few years ago, I would say yes or no, like, a guy and a girl, if they dated, they can still be friends. But I think now, like, I am older, I'm just like, there's no way. There's too much history there. Absolutely not. Like, I'm not friends with my exes for a reason.
Yeah, good.
And so I think that, like, if there's romantic history, then no, they cannot be friends. Just because there's just too many feelings there. Then, like, if you try to be friends, someone's going to get hurt, and that's just a no-go.
I've counseled multiple guys on the, I hope we can still be friends, whatever.
Yeah.
Just to be like, no, dude, that means you never talk to her ever again. That's okay, man. That's okay.
I only say when a guy or a girl says, I hope we can still be friends, it's almost like, hey, your dog died, but you still keep the body, though, and not bury it. Like, what?
Yo, I love
that's what I think in my head. When a guy says, I hope we can still be friends, I'm just like, okay, that's like saying, I know your dog just passed away, but here's the body. You can keep it.
Right.
Like, what? Well,
that's brutal, man. I mean, I don't disagree, though.
It's a good mindset to have, though. Yeah. I'm just saying.
All right. Like, I dig it. No, that was good. No,
that's very real, actually. I agree. I heard someone very wise say something recently that, like, in relationships, you know, you're either, like, moving with guys and girls, you know, into your gender dynamics, you're either moving towards a deeper relationship or away from a deeper relationship. Kind of like with God, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, fence. You're either
Did you say
closer.
With guys and girls in particular? Sorry to interrupt.
Only like between guys and girls, like a male-female friendship. You're either moving closer to a relationship or you're moving away from a relationship.
You mean like a romantic relationship?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I would, and I'll dig into this a little more probably next segment when we've got some more time, but I would argue that, like, I had girls who I was friends with before I was married.
Yeah.
Right? I currently have zero women that I'm friends with, and I think that's mm-hmm. rightly ordered. Mm-hmm. The girls that I was friends with before I was married, if I'm being totally honest, and this might make people mad at me, it was 100% either explicitly or implicitly, right? Because I was like, hey, is this going to be a romantic thing? Yes. And maybe I'm just got something wrong with me, and that was probably incredibly disordered. Thanks, Drew. I think I agree. I think I agree with that.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Because, I mean, from the male perspective, sometimes it looks like there is, like, stagnation. But I would imagine from the other perspective, there is kind of always that understanding of, oh, is this growing closer towards, like, love? Or is it, like, moving away from that kind of
Lee, you look like bond. You disagree with everything Drew's saying. And that's okay.
I'm used to it. It's okay.
Well, Drew's just, like, throwing shots at me on this podcast.
I'm sorry.
I'm an innocent bystander. I would say that it is important in a male and female friend. I think a man and a woman can be friends. Mm-hmm. I think that it's important that you don't cross, like, a certain barrier. There's probably certain things that you shouldn't participate in. Like, with one of my girlfriends, we'll do, like, you know, date-type things, like go out to the movies, go out to eat, and it's not, like, a date because we're two women.
Oh, I do some serious bro dating.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Serious man dating
with the boys.
Dude, it's the best.
And it's safe, but I would, I wouldn't say 100% don't do it, but I would warn people against and tell them to be cautious of doing something like that with somebody of the opposite gender just because it feels very
intimate.
It feels, very intimate, kind of like it mirrors a relationship, and you put yourself in the position where one of you can begin to develop feelings and the other, like, if you've already established that's not what this is, mm-hmm. then you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position to begin liking someone. But then again, I wouldn't say never 100% rule that out, because that is how some people's story started. They were two people who were friends, mm-hmm. and through that friendship they grew and they realized that they liked each other, you know, to get married, go on with life. That's a beautiful thing. I think it's, like, dangerous to be like, I'm a man, I cannot have any women friends.
Well, it's interesting. So I'm sort of working all this out in my head, right? And I stand by what I said earlier, which is that now that I am a married man, like, I follow all the weird Billy Graham rules. Like, I won't ride a car with a woman by myself who's not my wife. Like, I just, mm-hmm. I don't do that. I don't want to be put in a position where, I don't know, I am, something is taken the wrong way or something.
Yeah.
I think it's prudence, right? But at the same time, right, and I'm thinking back of single John Henry, I would 100% say that a guy and a girl should be friends before they start a romantic relationship, but now I'm questioning whether or not they even can be. I don't know. This is weird. Help me out.
Group dynamics. That's the trick. You engage with each other in group dynamics, and that way you're able to find out who the person is and if you want to pursue them romantically. That's what I think.
So you're saying it's
not a guy and a girl alone in a car. It's like a friend group hanging out, you know, and then, like, you guys are all piled in the minivan, and then that way, you know, there's nothing potentially compromising.
I think it just depends on the person. Like, I know plenty of men and women who can be in a car alone together and don't have to worry about falling in love.
Me and Lee are on the same page. Because, like, I have two really good guy friends. Let's call him Bob. Great. Me and Bob are really good friends. Bob will come over to my house all the time to hang out with my dad and call him my dad by his first name, and they'll have a beer and we'll have pizza and catch up. And that's just simply platonic. Like, we've been good friends for a while. And then my other friend, they actually just got married, and, like, I was a maid of honor in her wedding, but, like, her husband is, like, one of my really good friends. Mm-hmm. But it's more of, he's a good friend because he holds me accountable, my actions, but he also is, like leading me closer to Christ too. And that's where, like, when you have, like, a male and female friendship, I think that if you have that boundary and you both people are aware of the boundary, I think it's perfectly fine to be platonic, because at the end of the day, like, we're supposed to, like, love each other, but also, like, lift each other up too. So I think that's perfectly fine to have those boundaries and not cross them.
I think a big question that comes up, so I'm just going to use your scenario in this situation. So you mentioned Bob. There's, like, a question of, like, what happens to Bob once you're married? Like, is Bob still coming over your house, having beers with
your dad?
Oh, because
Bob ain't coming over to my house.
Bob and his wife would come over to my house, then Bob is actually now dating somebody, and me and his girlfriend
are friends. Yeah, if he's married and stuff, like, that's awesome.
Then Bob and his wife can come over and hang out with my dad.
But if he's married.
So let's say if Bob was single in this scenario, would that be weird?
No, because Bob came over to my house when he was single before.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but now
that's where I disagree. I think there is a...
well, now if your husband has a friend, he's had a friend with a woman that he knew maybe before you, and now she's coming over while you guys are married. Does that change it at all?
I don't think so. I think it's more of, one, boundary, two, I understand, like, girls get jealous, guys get jealous. I understand that. But I also think that there has to be a trust aspect in that relationship. Like, if the partner has, like, some kind of inkling, like, something's going on, I think that's going to be a really big issue later on, because, like, my mom has, like, good guy friends, but she's not going to be like, hey, come over, hang out. I think it has to be, like, a mutual respect between two people, but also has to be, like, that trust factor at the same time.
Interesting.
I think we're going to kick off the next segment with this, because I really want to dig into it. I think this is kind of an interesting... Because I have, like, a gut feeling that I'm trying to put into words that basically revolves around... Once again, ain't no way Bob's coming over to my house to hang out if I'm married, and Bob's my wife's old buddy from college.
Yeah.
That feels weird. But I don't want to dig into that right now. We're going to talk right after we get back from the break. This is fun. This is a good, poppy kind of episode. Lee looks incredibly uncomfortable.
Well, she's been getting shots fired.
I know. Jesus will more likely in next episode, though. But right now, we got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We had a very exciting first segment here. I think we got some feathers ruffled. It was really, really good.
We had to switch seats. There was so much air going on.
If you're just listening and you can't see the video, you just got audio, we now have Needy and Leah together, united on one side of the room against Josh and Drew.
And I'm bleeding.
Yeah. And Drew is taking his microphone off too, which is pretty neat. So I'm really excited about it. I think we'll just jump right back in. Leah, I promised that I was going to give you 3 minutes here on the beginning of the second segment.
So I did want to kind of touch on something that I felt like I've noticed. I would say normally in a relationship that is male and female, it's if it's successful, then they probably both already have a reason why they could never date anyways. You know, okay. Like I have a really good friendship with this guy, but he's a foot shorter than me. So that... Right?
You've got him written off in your head?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. But in his opinion, then this matters too, right?
Well, he might be like, she's a foot taller than me.
But he might be like that.
He might not.
And that's where it gets dangerous. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason you see a lot of male and female friendships is because, you know, a lot of people just have already like a pre-existing reason why I would never be with that person. Mm-hmm. And if we're in agreeance, and normally it's not like you sit down like after you are friends with a guy and you know what, we've been friends for 3 weeks and I'm not attracted to you, so I think we can continue to be friends.
Wait, you guys aren't doing that?
No, Josh, you gotta cut that out.
It's probably bad having to tell you that we're just friends.
Okay, and for the I want to continue on this line of thought, right? But for the sake of discussion, let's go ahead and rule out like married relationships. You guys aren't married, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And I think we all agreed with this off air a second ago, right? That me having a girl who's just my friend, who I'm texting with regularly, having been married for 15 years and having 6 children, and right, is a very different situation than Drew having a girl that is a friend, right? As a single guy, right? Or than Znini having a guy friend as a single gal. Are you single right now?
I am.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna put her Instagram and everything down in the show notes. Please don't actually do that. But okay, so just for the sake of argument, because I'm always tempted to be like, actually, that'd be super weird for me, but I want to write myself out of this. All right, okay. I'm sorry. Finish your thought, Leah. I didn't mean to.
No, I just wanted to see if everybody agreed with that. Like,
yeah.
In your intersex friendships, or however you want to word it, is there a reason that you couldn't see yourself with that woman?
This was something that I thought of, and it's very related, because I'm going to fit your situation with what I'm thinking of right now, but... if I'm consider someone a friend, then there would be nothing awkward about me texting them, right? Just no group chat, no nothing. I'm just texting you and we're just talking, right? There wouldn't be something awkward about that. If that person got married and we're friends, there should be nothing weird about us texting. It's hard to imagine a scenario where marriage can drastically change the existence of a friendship. And that has to, in some manner, inform how we think about male and female friendships. Because let's say there's a girl that I text one-on-one, hypothetically, and then she gets married. Is it still appropriate for me to text her one-on-one? Or in some manner, is this... Yeah, I bring it up because it's like an obvious no.
Okay, well,
or in some manner, is the relationship different?
Was it ever appropriate for you to text that much one-on-one to begin with? Because, of course, if you're a man and you have a friend who's a woman, you can text her, but how much are you texting? Because you want to be careful not to use your female friends for emotional gratification when you have no desire to ever be in a relationship.
Oh, I agree 100%. Yeah. No, like that's obviously true. I'm not a big texter myself. I send like 3 like texts a day, honestly. But you could still imagine a scenario. Well, if it's 2 guys, right? And if I'm going to my guy and I'm talking to him about like, hey, this is going on in my life, just sharing, once again, that's a friendship. And obviously it just highlights that there's something ontologically different about the two. That if I'm texting a guy, it's not awkward. Even if I send something that's like, hey man, I'm going through a rough patch or something like that, that's not necessarily awkward. But if someone was texting like my wife and was like, hey, I'm going through a rough patch, I would be like, why is he texting you? Like, have him hire a therapist or something.
Yeah, but let's remove the married. Let's remove the marriage.
That's true. I'm having a bad habit to keep resolving that.
I do like what Josh said, though, however, about the marriage still being relevant. It's not like you get married and instantly your dynamic with every other man or woman changes. Like, there is obviously a parallel or, like, a way in which it evolves into a more close-off relationship with others or more purposeful relationship. To address what Leah said earlier about, well, why can't you... Would you like to restate what you said a little bit just so I can answer it better? Because I'm interested in answering what you said.
The friends that you have in your life that are women.
Yes.
Is it like, do you have a reason that you already know that it's okay for you to be friends with them because you're not attracted to them?
That's interesting. I think a lot of that hinges on the attraction. For me, I know that I treat pretty women differently than I treat women that I don't find as attractive. And I don't know, I feel like that's a very typical way of behavior maybe even human or natural. And therefore, like, you should go about a relationship in a different way with somebody that you find visually attractive or even emotionally or internally attractive in a different way than there would be someone that you might have, like, you know, that you might find who's a foot shorter than you and you might not be that interested in for those reasons. So, I mean, I don't think that's anything disordered. I would say that being more aware of your attractions is an important part of making relationships. Also, you said something interesting about emotional gratification from, and that can be very disordered, absolutely, like, you know, two friends just seeking emotional gratification from each other. But at the end of the day, a large portion of friendship is emotional gratification in a positive, rightly ordered way. And so I think that should be encouraged as long as, you know, both parties are receiving it in the proper and just way and for a higher purpose.
Okay, but yeah, in that same vein, I feel like man and female, right, male and female, right, that we are ontologically by our very nature different, right? And I feel like, let's say that, sure, you can totally have relationships with members of the opposite sex or friendship relationships, platonic relationships with members of the opposite sex, sort of like that, not philia love, what is Aristotle call friendship? Love, right? With members of the opposite sex. That being said, me having a conversation with Josh and me having a conversation with Nini, right? When we get into certain topics, I literally won't be able to understand what you're saying,
yeah,
right?
True.
My brain is built different. My nature is different than yours. And Josh and I can sit down and talk about things and understand and experience, right? Because we're both men, in a way that you and Leah could do because you're both women, but me and you could not do because we're male and female. I just don't think it's so. I'm saying, let's say that it is possible to have a friendship. I don't think the depth of the friendship can ever reach the same depth of, like, an intimacy that I could have with Josh. I'm like a masculine male intimacy that is good, that men need, yeah, right? I don't think we could ever have that.
It might Amen. Even just be two pools. I was thinking of this right now, where it's like the depth that you would reach with a guy-to-guy friendship, that we use the same word friendship, but we might not even be talking about the same thing.
Sure.
So like the depths you can reach with a girl on that level, it might be just as deep, but it's going to be ontologically completely different from the depths you would reach with a guy. And also we got to acknowledge, like, men need to have men-only spaces. Girls need to have girl-only spaces. And if you don't have that, like, if you're a guy and all of your circles are just girls, that's also just going to not really affect you in a positive way.
Well, we're the same in dignity, but we're different in kind, right? You guys can have a much more in-depth relationship that it is literally impossible for me to have, I would argue, with a woman. And in the same way, Josh and I can do that, and we couldn't with a girl. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Nini? You look like you got some hot takes over there. I'm ready.
I think it's only because, like, granted, like, this is, like, my married friends. And so, like, so they just got married, but, like, me and him we have very good, like, in-depth conversations. And that's not because he's married or he's been dating her forever and they got married, but I think it's also because, like, I think for me and him, it's on a different level and aspect because, one, our personalities are very similar, but two, it's also like I'm a very transparent person. I don't sugarcoat things. He doesn't either. So like when I have issues, for example, like with my love life, I don't really go to her. I go to him because I also want like that male perspective. I'm like, hey, like this happened. So like let me get your perspective on why X, Y, and Z happened. And instead of like my girlfriend's trying to like make me feel better in a way, it's more of like he gives it like point blank period, this is why I think you're in the wrong, I don't think you did this right. Whereas a girl would be like, oh well, you did nothing wrong, or like as my cousin would say, like she'll be DeLulu with me. Versus like I want someone who's gonna be like, you did, like you were in the wrong. And so I think girls, like girl friendships are great in depth and like conversations and like uplifting each other, but sometimes as a girl, like we also just want like just a guy to be like point blank period.
Well, I think getting a male perspective on things as a female is important sometimes. Just like getting a female perspective is important as a man sometimes. Like I interact with lots of women who are usually my wife's, or almost exclusively, right? My wife's friends or my friends, my guy friends' wives, right? I can totally see and have had the conversation of, okay, Julia, right? As the name of a good buddy of mine's wife, right? I really want to hear what you think about this because I can't understand this as a man. I feel like my male brain is an impediment to this. So you tell me. I still just don't know if I would consider her a friend. Yeah. I love her. I like her as a human being.
Yeah.
But that level of intimacy,
I mean,
taking
a consistent relationship
possible
is totally different, I would find. I mean, I've had friendships with women in which I had a good friendship going with them, but then there was a level of maybe my socialization patterns. I just stop engaging with them for like periods of week at a time, and they'd be like, "Oh, I forgot about that. You want to go to that concert?" And women don't like that, I find, or not, or maybe some do. I really don't know. And that you can like really cause accidental emotional damage to someone basically just based on like your nature and your stylings, and maybe someone can expect something different from you based on your previous interactions, but then on your understanding of a healthy friendship and their understanding of a healthy friendship is just so different on the bottom level that causes damage.
I'm curious because Leah and Nini have both mentioned like male friends that they have.
Yeah.
I'm curious, I guess more so from Drew than Josh, because Josh said, no, thanks, I don't think that we can have
it. I mean, I have friends that are girls that I would consider friends, but there's like a limit, you know what I mean? I was telling them a story earlier where I was talking to I was in college. This was a friend I made in college, and at some point I was with her and a bunch of other friends, and I was making her laugh like crazy, and I just told her outright, I was like, by the way, we're never dating.
Oh, God.
Like, I was like, because I wanted to
in front of a group of people,
I wanted
right?
to put that in her head so that she wouldn't take it.
In front of all that's
not in front of everybody.
Well, it was like, well, she wasn't into me, I wasn't into her, I knew that, but I wanted to set the ground early in the relationship.
You might have really
so
hurt her feelings. And that's a great example of how men and women can't be friends.
I'm still friends with this person kind of testifies to opposite. But she's like, what's it called? She's a great person. But there's levels of depth that I probably in college, there's probably conversations with her that it would have been better if I just had them with a guy. A guy who was very devout Christian, had my better interests in mind. Whereas she probably, I don't know, I don't think I ever really went to her for advice. But
I've seen a lot of guys. I've counseled a lot of guys to sort of move away from that. A lot of guys who will fall on, like, will gravitate towards women for advice, knowing that it's going to be more nurturing and more what in a way that's disordered. It's almost like, hey, I'm going to you because I know that you're going to be nicer about this when I really ought to be going to you. And I'm sure girls do that with guys at the same time.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, as harsh as what Josh said sounds, there's almost an element to where I could appreciate it because he was just straight up like, we won't be together. And something that is so dangerous, especially in the Catholic like little circles to have, is like this guy and girl friendship dynamic where the man almost treats you as if you're a woman that he's interested in, but he gets what he needs out of that and never takes it a step further. So if you had some type of relationship where the girl may be attracted to the guy or may not be, but he's like a young, attractive Catholic male, and he has no desire of dating her, but they do text a lot, or you, maybe every now and then when they see each other, they flirt. That's where it gets dangerous. So I could appreciate that Josh just like from the beginning was like, this is what it is, because I think there are a lot of people, and it goes both ways for both genders, who kind of lead each other on because we're all in the Catholic community, we're young and we're out and we're doing things and we're nice to each other, and sometimes people can not
read
perceive
into
that
it
right.
Right.
You know, and I get it, like, you know.
And by the way, I appreciate it when I've had girls do the same to me where they're like, hey, I'm not interested in you and stuff like that. Right. I love that it sets the expectation for what happens next, because it's like, hey, I'm not going to go after you at this point. You're not going to go after me at this point. This is what it is. And it's almost easier to pursue. And you know what? Maybe, and that's why I wanted to qualify it. When I say they shouldn't be friends, I really want to qualify that as like a certain kind of friendship that you would only have with a guy. They're not going to fulfill that. But I do think in a certain way, guys and girls can be friends. Because we defined friendship as like two things, or seemed that way, like moving towards a similar goal and like encouraging each other in Catholic life while also liking the person, not necessarily in a romantic capacity, but just like that chemistry of like kindred spirits. And I would say that there are girls that I have that energy with, but like when I'm in a relationship, those girls are very much kind of the level at which I would talk to them, call them, etc., decreases to near zero, where like I might talk to you if I'm like, hey, me and the girl are going to be going somewhere, do you want to hang out with us and bring people you know? That's something that it might, but I'm not talking to this person one-on-one. I'm not trying to entertain
I do
things.
Feel like there's, I like the pool analogy, the depth, right?
Yeah.
Of friendship. Because if the question is, can men and women be in the same community together? The answer is yeah, absolutely, and they ought to be, and that's really, really good. It's good for men to see good examples of authentic femininity. It's good for women to see good examples of authentic masculinity, regardless of the relationship there. It's great. There's nothing wrong with running in the same circles and all that stuff. I think it's a depth argument, which is a pretty good segue. You said best friends earlier. You made a distinction, right?
Right.
Can we talk about what that means? And
Drew, do you want to define what best friends mean?
I think it means a lot for different people, you know? I mean, I've had a lifelong friend, which I don't think is something that very many people have had. I think they tend to maybe not cycle through best friends, but they have, you know, everyone has a different degree of best friends or besties maybe even. But I've known this one guy, Sawyer Faulkner, for decades now, and our relationship has just, you know, constantly been there through the thick and thin. It's been bonded by some really tough situations for both of our families. And through that, I would say that's a friend, and God willing, a lifelong friend. It's rightly ordered. He's Catholic as well. And we definitely direct ourselves towards a higher goal, even though it's rarely explicitly religious. Very important for me. And I think he complements my styling, too, and helps, you know, further me to be a more masculine man. So that's what a best friend is to me. I guess something that was on my heart while I was listening to all this was how short we often fall. Like, yes, we should have the virtues of chastity so that if you are alone in a car with a guy and a girl, or you are a guy and alone with a car with a girl, or vice versa, the reason why you would not want to put yourself in that situation is not because you're a beast that is going to fall short and do something horrible for your salvation or for someone else's purity, but more so because you know that as a human being, your nature is sinful, and therefore you should be aware, for the sake of others first and then yourself, that you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you can harm other people socially or in a more dramatic level. I have more to say, but I mean, I can drop the mic too.
I want to add on to what you're saying, though. It's also, you mentioned the responsibility not just for self, but also for others. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we forget that, like, the sin of scandal is also like a sin. So, sin of scandal is also like a sin. That's a funny sentence. But the idea that if you're hanging out with this girl one-on-one, if you guys are everywhere together, if people see you and you're doing this coupley thing, just because you're close, I'll do like I'll be physical with like my bros, like I'll like put my arm around them and joke. And I know guys and girls that they'll be very close and kind of have that brother-sister dynamic, but it does almost start to steer some people into scandal where it's like, hey, what are you guys? What's going on here? And it's a judgment both on the people making that judgment against others, but also we do have a responsibility for, and it stinks, but there is a real responsibility for like how you appear to others, how you appear, how you represent your family, your church, your neighbors, and that's a real thing. Like if, let's say you have a guy invites you, hey, do you want to come over to my house? We're going to hang out and play Xbox, right? Two guys, they're friends. Very easy to be like, sure, no one's going to think much of that as long as their mind is rightly ordered.
Right.
But if it's like a guy and a girl and it's just like, hey, do you want to come over to my house? Just me and you, we're going to play Xbox. You know what I mean? Like naturally, anyone looking upon that is going to be like, what's going on here? Like, how appropriate is this? And there could be a situation you both go over, you play some Xbox, you have fun, you both go home, nothing sinful happened, but there's a question of scandal.
That's a great point. I never thought of it that way.
Any thoughts, ladies?
I'm trying to process this. I think that, yes, scandal is a thing, absolutely. But I also think that it goes back to boundaries and it goes back to, like, attraction as well. Like, Bob comes over to my house and we'll get pizza and we'll watch TV. And that's really all it is. And I think that outside looking in, like, people will know that, like, me and Bob are just friends because we set that boundary. Like, I'm not gonna have like my hand, like my arm around him and vice versa. But I also think, again, it really is that boundary where, like, Bob and I know for a fact, like, we're never gonna be together. We're just like strictly friends. Like, my parents love him and he loves my parents, so like that's more of just like two platonic friends hanging out. And I think that, again, boundaries is such a huge thing. And I think that if there is no boundaries that is placed, and that's where that scandal can come in and be misconstrued.
Are you and Bob both single?
Bob is not single.
Bob is not single. Is Bob married?
No, Bob has a girlfriend, which I love their girlfriend.
That's great. Okay, and this is not a criticism. It's just a clarification. Bobita, right? Bob's girlfriend.
Right? We love Bob's girlfriend.
Yeah, let's give her a name. Sally, right? Sally's totally fine with Bob going over your house and watching a movie?
Because I invite Sally over too.
Oh, that's different. That's right.
But Sally also does, like, Sally, well, I don't want to come over, but you and Bob can hang out.
Oh, that's interesting.
But also, I think it's also, one, just, like, being secure in your relationship, and that's a very big thing, but also, like, does Sally trust me enough to where me and Bob will not do anything scandalous?
Yeah.
That's, I think trust and boundaries are the two biggest things that's going to play in a relationship, or just in general, I think, in between friendships. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, I'd rather be insecure. I'm just joking, but what's it called? Yeah, it's just not for me. That's just, I guess, what I would say. I wouldn't want, if my hypothetical significant other, right, if she was like, hey, I'm hanging out over at this guy's house, I would be like, well, that's cool. We need to reevaluate our relationship. That's just going to be my personal, like, that's a boundary for me. Now, once again, like you said, it's boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I can respect that. It's going to be your choices. All I know is I've never seen two people who have been long-term married, very happy with each other, and the guy has a girl best friend and the girl has a guy best friend that they've kept over the years. I just never seen that. Maybe if it's like a couple best friend, I could see that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Angie and I have a couple of some really great friends, right, who are mutual friends who are married, who we've known forever. They come over. I go smoke cigars on the back porch with Jason and his wife and my wife hang out.
Well, it's no longer, there's no scandal there.
Right.
It's like obvious what's going on.
I want to throw something out real quick in the last few minutes, and I don't know if this is controversial or not, but I've said this a lot, and I've gotten some negative feedback on it. My wife, my bride, the human being who I love and my favorite person who exists, right, is my wife. We are not best friends. We are married, and we have a relationship that I would argue goes much deeper than, but we are sacramentally bound to one another until one of us dies. But we are not best friends. And I've said that to multiple people who have sort of balked at me. And I've said, like, first of all, it's not like I'm withholding anything that I shouldn't be withholding from my wife or anything like that. But our relationship is different in kind than I've got a guy who I would consider my best friend and than it is with him. And I think that's rightly ordered, but I'm interested in y'all's thoughts.
I actually agree with you completely.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm same page.
Yeah, it's great. And I think, ladies, what do you think?
I think that's fine. I think there's also, like, if I, you know, when I get married, like, if my husband makes me upset, I'm not gonna, like, I'm gonna cool off for a little bit, but I'm not gonna go talk to him. Like, I would go talk to my best friend, like, hey, like, X, Y, and Z, like, he did X, Y, and Z, and I need to, like, rant about this. I'm not gonna go to him and rant because, like, I'm mad at him. So I think that your significant other not being your best friend is perfectly fine because it's so much deeper than that, if that makes sense.
Well, I had a spiritual director who basically, like, laid that out for me one time. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Because I was talking about, like, there's things I'm talking about with this guy friend I'm not talking about with my wife. Is that disordered? And he said, nope, that's actually not disordered at all, right? There are certain things that you can't withhold from your wife, right?
Yeah.
If you're stuck in some sort of habitual mortal sin, if you're dealing with certain, there's things that you must share with your spouse. But if it's something that, there are certain things that your wife, like we were saying, there are certain things that I will never understand that Nene's going to feel and think and whatever, right? By virtue of my masculinity, I have a deficit there, and I will never fully understand your femininity, and you will never understand my masculinity. That's okay. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that because I've gotten some, like, dude, that's really messed up. You shouldn't say that your wife's not your best friend. She's not. Love her to death. We die for 1,000 times.
I feel like for some people, it's also like a LARP. Like, it's almost like you have to say that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, my wife. It's like, I can't wait. And then it's like, I don't know. I've seen my parents. My parents always love each other. Mm-hmm. But they've gone through phases like, yo, I can't, not right now. You know what I mean?
We have said
and there's always that love and the dedication to one each other, that honesty. But there's an honesty of like, hey, sometimes I want to hang out with, like, the guys. You want to hang out with the girls. This is what
it
is.
In situations where my wife and I have really been butting heads, we don't have, like, screaming fights, praise be to God, but like if we're really not getting along or something, our go-to line is love is movement of the will, babe. Love is movement of the will. I love you right now because I decided to. I really just need a second, right?
And that's to me the beauty of marriage, you know what I mean? It's like the beauty of marriage to me isn't the, and this is like really controversial, but it isn't the like, oh my gosh, you're so cute, I love going out with you. To me, it's like that, like, you know what I mean? And like, we're going to make this work because we just are dedicated to each other.
It's ride or die forever. It's the most beautiful thing in the world.
Yeah. That's the, like, I'll see kids It's very shallow to like love a kid when they're doing everything they're supposed to.
Right.
It's almost beautiful when you see a parent like struggling with a kid, like, oh, this little brat's going crazy. Yeah. Like that, I love that. That to me is, it represents struggle. It represents humanity. Like, I love that.
It's super fun, man. I know this isn't a marriage and kids episode, but once again, literally, I could get a text message any second from my wife telling me that baby number six is here, and it's the best thing ever. Highly recommend it.
I feel like every time I come on the podcast, your wife is about to go into labor.
I feel like she was just pregnant like when I last saw you.
Yeah, we have one that just turned two, and then this one will be here any minute now.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then four others going up. All right, guys, this was fun. This was a good kind of all over the place, like. I like a little bit of tension and disagreement in the episode. I think that's good. And it's great because a lot of these topics with the dating thing have been, like, these aren't doctrinal issues, right? It's fun. I mean, sometimes it's frustrating, like, in a good way. But as a Catholic, because you're like, well, actually, the doctrine is this. So you're wrong. Yeah. You're right. Boom. Right? But a great thing about being Catholic is we're allowed to disagree on a whole lot of stuff as long as we stay within the boundaries of doctrine. So this has been a lot of fun, guys. I really appreciate y'all coming on. We'll have to do it again. Drew, Josh, Leah, Nini, super fun. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
It's a blast.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.